What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. When I look upon His face, the one who saved me by His grace. When He takes me by the hand and leads me through that promised land. What a day, what a glorious day that will be. Amen. Wow. And that day's coming for all of us, some sooner than others. But what a great promise that is for the Lord to bless us to that end. The 10th chapter of Romans, verses 11 through 17, is where I'm reading from and preaching from this morning. So if you'll find that text, I want to read that passage with the understanding that Paul is continuing to show us that he is much more than just an apostle, one sent with a message, but he is an evangelist. He is concerned about souls, and he does everything within his power to make sure that he's being faithful to the evangelistic call. And so he continues showing us this in verses 11 through 17. And in today's text, he shows us the centrality of the preaching of the gospel in evangelism. How necessary it is for the gospel to be preached in evangelism. And I don't mean preaching like I'm doing this morning. That's the only way. But we'll get into that in just a moment. But the centrality of the Word of God being used in evangelism, especially preaching. So verse 11 says, "For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on Him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon Him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." So here's what Paul has done with us so far in this chapter. Last week I preached on the subject of Paul being the evangelist. Paul, as you remember, as an evangelist, first of all, he had a heart for souls. His passion was to see people saved. That was part of who he was as a preacher. Number two, though, he understood their spiritual condition. The people that he was primarily concerned about being saved were his Israelite kinsmen, the Jewish people. And the Jewish folks were, they wanted to get to heaven, but they wanted to get to heaven by their righteousness. They wanted to get to heaven by obeying the law. They had their own righteousness, Paul said. So he understood that they were missing the boat by a mile. So his preaching and his dealing with them was geared toward getting them to see that your righteousness that you're trusting in by your works falls miserably short of you being saved. The righteousness you must have is the righteousness that God offers through Christ Jesus. It is by grace alone, through faith alone. So Paul understood his audience. He understood their spiritual condition. And then thirdly, we talked about how Paul pointed them, that is these lost souls, to the Lord Jesus Christ. The very best thing you and I can do when we are talking to people about their souls is not trying to explain how the world's going to end. Eschatology and how things are going to come to a close can be a very cloudy matter for someone whose soul is not saved. And that's, I'm not saying that's not important. It's very important. And then the least thing we want to be talking about in a soul when he's being saved is a subject such as baptism as well. Baptism saves no one. Just because you're dunked in the water, baptized in the water, immersed in the water, does not mean that that baptism saves you at all. The one thing that you want to be clear about when you are evangelizing folks is the Lord Jesus Christ. Make much of the Lord Jesus Christ. Talk about Him as the Lord. Talk about Him as Jesus, the Savior. Talk about Him as the Christ, the Messiah. Make much of Him. And Paul pointed lost souls not to a church, not to an ordinance, not to a specific doctrine. He pointed them specifically to the Lord Jesus Christ. And then fourthly, Paul exhorted those he was evangelizing to repent of their sins and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. When you're dealing with souls, it's an eternal matter, and you should be serious about that. You should compel them to come to Christ. You should exhort them to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Put everything else away and look squarely onto Jesus. Come to Him is His emphasis. Well, that's what we covered in verses 1 through 10 last week. But this morning, I want to continue thinking about what Paul the evangelist and his insistence on the centrality of preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ in the work of evangelism. Now, some of you may think, well, isn't that just a give me? I mean, how can you do evangelism without the gospel of Jesus Christ? How can you do evangelism without preaching the gospel of Christ? Folks, it's done all the time. In the name of evangelism, people talk to folks about becoming a Christian without even getting around to explaining the gospel of Jesus Christ. They come to Christ, as we talked about in Sunday school, because they want their marriage fixed, or they want their work situation fixed, or they want their health fixed, or they want their emotional issues fixed. Jesus did not die on the cross so you could have a good marriage. He did not die on the cross to save you from your miserable work job. He didn't die on the cross to make you emotionally stable. He didn't die on the cross to help you live a healthier life. He died on the cross to save your miserable soul from your sins. That's what the cross is about. Now, when He saves your miserable soul from sins, your marriage will be better. And your job will get better. And your health might get better. And your emotional state will surely get better as well. And so Paul talks about the centrality of the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. As a matter of fact, he mentions it 5 times in our text today. He mentions it in verse 8, where he says, "But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach." And then in verse 14, he mentions it. "How then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how they should believe in Him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher?" Then he mentions it twice in verse 15. "And how shall they preach except they be sent?" And then, "How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace." Then he concludes it in verse 17. "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." And how does the word of God go out? Through the preaching of Jesus Christ. So if we are to follow the example of evangelizing folks, like the Apostle Paul is showing us that he did in Romans chapter 10, and by example commanding us to follow him as well, then we must understand the centrality of preaching and evangelism as Paul did. So let's think just a moment about the question, what is preaching? Well, if you were to ask that question to the average church member, they would say, oh, that's the time when our pastor gets up and he hopefully reads a passage of Scripture, and then he preaches from that passage of Scripture. And they would be absolutely right. It is a time when the Word of God is spoken, read, explained, and applied. And hopefully the preacher has been trained well enough to take any passage of Scripture that you will read from Genesis to Revelation, read the passage, explain it, and then make a beeline to the cross. To tie that passage in to the Lord Jesus Christ is the preacher's responsibility every time he reads a passage of Scripture. So it is speaking or declaring. But what form can this speaking and declaring take? Is Paul meaning that the only time the Word of God can be preached is when a congregation gets together and when a man stands in front of that congregation and reads from the Word of God and explains it and applies it? Well, of course not. He certainly means that, but that's not the only way that the Word of God can be preached, that can be declared, or it can be spoken. For example, you can have a one-on-one conversation with someone, and you are preaching the Word of God. You're reading it. You're explaining it. You're applying it to their heart and to their life. Now, it's not in the form that, like I'm doing today, in front of a congregation, but you are then giving out the Word of God. You're declaring the gospel. It can be a one-on-one situation. It can be a Bible study, like we have here every Sunday morning at 9:15. Currently, we're going through the book of Hebrews. That can be a time of evangelism as well, because we're talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, and it's possible that someone in that Bible study doesn't know Christ, and so the subject of that particular Bible study must still be the Lord Jesus, and we must make much of that. There are various other ways in which the Word of God can be declared. So I'm not necessarily concerned about the form in which the Word of God being declared goes out, although I do believe, and maybe I'm prejudiced a little bit, that preaching should be the most important thing that happens when the church gathers together. And I don't think that's true with a lot of churches today. I think entertainment has sort of taken some time away from preaching. I think music has taken some time away from preaching as well, and other things have taken time away. I think if we make time for anything on Sunday morning, it should be for the Word of God to be preached. And I'm not saying that because I'm a preacher. I'm saying it because I believe the Bible teaches that. W.A. Criswell was a pastor of First Baptist Church, Dallas. Matter of fact, he was the second church in that long history of First Baptist Church, Dallas. He pastored for about 40 years. George Truett was the founding pastor. He pastored for about 40 or 45 years. Criswell was a very known pastor within the Southern Baptist Convention back in the 1970s and 1980s. Very well respected, a delightful man. He wore a white suit with white shoes every time he preached on Sunday morning. That was just his trademark of preaching. But he was a wonderful expositor of the gospel. He loved the Lord Jesus Christ. He was a soul winner. He was a wonderful, wonderful man. He was asked one time about the issue of music in church. What's the role of singing in congregational gatherings? And so he went on to explain about how important it is for Christians to come together and sing songs to one another and sing unto the Lord. He said, but you know what? Truth be told, I can't wait till the singing gets over so I can start preaching. Because I believe it is so central for us to have the Word of God preached in the congregation of believers. And that came from a man who preached to thousands every Sunday morning. So we must make sure that when we evangelize folks, that we are declaring the Word of God. Don't try to go psychological on people. Don't try to manipulate them with your clever talks and your clever tricks and gimmicks. just to get them to make a decision, to play upon their emotions. No, you talk about Jesus Christ, who He is, what He accomplished on Calvary's cross, and you talk about how sinful they are and how they can come to Christ if they will simply look to Him and trust Him to be saved. So that's declaring, that's speaking and declaring. That sort of explains preaching a little bit. But what about the second part of what is preaching? We know it's speaking and declaring, but it's also speaking and declaring the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel of Jesus Christ has been explained as the good news of Jesus Christ, and I think that's a literal translation of it. The word gospel means glad tidings, simply. It doesn't mean anything more than that, but when you associate it with the gospel of Jesus Christ, it means the glad tidings, the good news of the person and the work of Jesus Christ. So when you talk about the gospel of Jesus Christ, talk about who He is and what He has done, His person and His work. So you talk about Jesus being the Son of God. He's the one who came to earth, took upon Himself the form of man. Why? So that He might become our Redeemer. He might become our representative with God. No one else has done this. No one else has ever been a representative of God except Adam, the very first man. And we know what happened to our first representative. He failed us miserably. But the second representative, the Son of God, the Son of Man, has lived a sinless life, died a sacrificial death, and has done the great work of reconciling fallen, sinful man to the great, sovereign, eternal Lord through His life and His work. So make much about the person of Jesus Christ and make much about His work, His sinless life, His sacrificial death. That's what brings us to Christ. That's what brings us to salvation. We, in order for you to be right with God, friend, you have to be perfect. You have to be sinless. And you can't get that on your own because you were born cursed, born separated from God. Well, then how in the world can you become perfect? You can become perfect through Christ imputing, Christ depositing His righteousness to you. It becomes yours. So Christ's righteousness is your righteousness through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So when you're preaching and when you're talking, you make sure that you point folks to the Lord Jesus Christ. But preaching is more than just reading Scripture, speaking and declaring the Word of God. It's more than just talking about who Jesus Christ is and what He has done. But the third element of preaching is this. And Paul goes through lengths in this chapter to describe this. It is the exhorting and the admonishing of sinners to repent and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not just a report that you give. It's not a paper that you read. Evangelism is not that. Preaching certainly is not that. But it is you standing in the place of God and God using your vocal cords to talk to sinners about their lost condition and exhorting them, admonishing them right now to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. You must be persuasive in your preaching. You must be exhorting in your preaching. You must talk to individual people in the congregation with your eye contact, knowing that they are not right with God. And it is your responsibility as a preacher or as a one-on-one person or as a Bible study person to make sure to exhort and encourage and admonish them right now is the time for you to repent of your sins and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. The writer of Hebrews, as we have been studying for the past several weeks, is doing a great job of this where he says, today is the day of salvation. Do not do like the Israelites did when they stiffened their neck and hardened their hearts in the wilderness and refused to hear and obey the word of God. But if God is speaking to you right now about your soul, then right now, without wasting another second, is a time for you to respond to God. And some reply to that and say, well, I'm not ready right now to come to God. Well, when will you be ready to come to God? You will never be ready to come to God on your own. But right now, while God is talking to you about your heart and about your soul and about your need to repent and believe in Jesus Christ, this is the time. You are ready right now to say yes to Jesus. Because were you thinking like this 30 minutes ago? No, you probably weren't. Were you thinking like this when you woke up this morning? You probably weren't. Will you be thinking about it tomorrow during lunchtime? You probably won't. But right now, as you're thinking about it, as God has your attention, and as you're focused upon your sin and upon the Lord Jesus Christ and how you must believe in Him and trust in Him, right now is the moment for you to believe in Jesus Christ. Exhortation, admonishing folks, don't waste another second of your life without Christ. Come to Him right now should be your response. And you should not just bow to Him. You should not just run to Him, walk to Him. You should run to Him. You should say, yes, Lord, at this very moment, if God is dealing with your heart. So what is preventing you right now from just saying yes to the Lord Jesus Christ? Here He stands in front of you saying, I'm the Savior. I can save you from your sins. Come to Me and believe in Me. What's preventing you right now from doing that? What's standing in the way from you doing that right now? Whatever it is, it's not worth listening to. The only thing you're hearing right now as to why you should not come to Christ are the whispers of Satan. Trying to get you to put off this notion of being saved. Will you listen to him? Or will you listen to the Lord and come to Him right now? That's how Paul dealt with souls. That's how I like to deal with souls as well, because I believe it to be an eternal matter. I believe it to be something that we should give much time and much earnestness to. And so, dear lost person in here today, hear me. And hear me well, if you are lost and still in your sins, and there's nothing preventing you from coming to Jesus Christ right now except your sin and your hardened heart. But if you see Jesus, if He's speaking to your heart now, then say yes to Him. Thank Him for bringing you here this morning. Thank Him for opening your ears to hear the gospel. And tell Him, yes, Lord, I want You. Anybody here ready to say yes to Christ? I hope and pray so. Let's pray. Now, Father, we thank You that You've given us this time to specifically narrow in on the need for sinners to confess their sins to you and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I don't know how you work specifically in the hearts of children and teenagers and adults to draw them to Christ, but I do know this. I know you use the preaching of Jesus Christ to get it done. And I hope and pray this morning that I have been faithful enough to preach Jesus Christ to lost sinners, that you will then be pleased to use this preaching to save sinners, to save them right now, before they take another breath, before their heart beats one more time. Save them, O Lord, is our prayer. We ask all these things in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen.